put you on the map. This is Ron Costa broadcasting live from the Mappable USA studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. Folks, is your bank still there? You better get there pretty quickly as you see what's happening with all these collapses. We're going to talk about that today and how it relates to crowdfunding. And before we get doing that, let's introduce Vicky Hetchmala from the World Token Market. Vicky, how are you today?
Fabulous, Ron. Like always, I'm fabulous today. And finally, the weather has become why we live in Vegas. 70s and 80s and beautiful. And we have a different take on our podcast today. We have a regular guest, but we're going to talk about crowdfunding from a different point of view. So let's get started, Ron.
All right. Sounds good. Let's introduce Mike Brett. He's from the Small Cap Equity Advisors. You've seen him on the show many times. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the spot today.
Absolutely.
My pleasure,
it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Yeah, no question. And I know you've been really busy over the last couple of months and living in San Diego. You always have the life there. It's great, right?
Yeah. Can't complain.
And my Mets are playing the Padres today as we speak. So if you're a baseball fan, that's a good thing for me. I will be in front of the TV later on watching it for sure. So that's always fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to talk about crowdfunding again today, Mike. And before we do, again, I'm sure people know who you are, but if they don't, real quickly, how about a little elevator speech on who you are in small cap? Tell us all about that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the president and CEO of Small Cap Equity Advisors. We've been in business over 30 years, advising, consulting with companies on how to raise capital legally, how to comply with state and federal security laws, how to do crowdfunding, what's the difference between Reg A, the Reg D, and Reg CF crowdfunding. And so we help companies kind of maneuver through that muddy, murky water of raising capital, to keep them out of jail so they comply with state and federal security laws. You know, so many people think, you know, the security laws don't apply to them. And we try to tell them, yeah, if you're selling securities stock to investors, you got to comply with state and federal security laws or otherwise you're going to have a problem. So we help companies do that, and we also take companies public. We like the Reg A vehicle because, once you file and get it qualified with the SEC, if you decide you want to go public later on, you could use that filing to go public. So our position here at Small Cap Equity Advisors is to help companies educate them, help them make a decision, what direction to go, and then we work with them to make it a reality.
Okay, excellent.
Very
yeah, that sounds
nice.
Good. And let's just really just dive right into it. What's going on with the banks today? You know, you have the whole Silicon Valley Bank thing and the collapse and all this news about banks going under. What's happening here? Why is this happening? And what does it mean for investors?
Yeah, good point. It's usually the small regional type banks, you know, like Silicon Valley Bank and Republic and, you know, some of those banks that have had the problems. The big banks like, you know, Wells Fargo, Citi, Chase, B of A, you know, they're fine. They don't have any problems. It's the smaller ones that have, you know, just really bad management in place. You know, I don't want to take up the show with Silicon Valley Bank, but, you know, everybody's heard, you know, the horror story there where they were long on bonds and doing short-term loans to businesses and working with VC firms up in the Silicon Valley area. And, you know, the long bonds that they were invested in and making short-term loans just caught up with them and they had a cash crunch. And then when the word got out, they were having problems. People just started making a run on the bank and pulling their money out. I mean, billions of dollars in deposits, you know, came out of the bank. So what that means for small businesses now, and what it's always meant, is traditional bank financing is not a way to go for somebody who wants to either start a business or do some additional follow-on financing for an existing business. Banks do not, despite what banks advertise and promote, banks do not make business loans. They make real estate
Yeah.
loans, secured loans. You know, if you wanna use the money, if you wanna borrow $1 million from the bank to put into your business, the bank doesn't care. They'll tell you they care, but as long as you put up $2 million in collateral for a $1 million
Yeah.
loan, you can use the money. And if you lose the money in a business, they'll take your house and all the real estate you pledged as collateral. That's really what bank financing is. And one reason that crowdfunding was passed about 12 years ago now was to help small businesses access capital markets without having to go through the traditional route of credit checks, collateral, loan committees, delays and delays, where it's out of your control. Crowdfunding is, you know, Reg A, it's Reg D, and it's also Reg CF crowdfunding that allows businesses, whether you're a startup or a late stage business, it allows you to structure an offering, reach out to investors on your terms and conditions, and raise money by selling equity in your business. Now, the benefit when you're selling equity is there's no interest payments, there's no collateral, there's no loan committees, there's no credit checks. You know, as long as you have a proper valuation in a solid business, you can attract investors to it and raise your money. You know, so that's kind of the theme for this show is, you know, stay away from bank financing and take crowdfunding in your control and raise money that way.
Yeah,
A lot of
that's
times with the
good
banks
advice.
too, when you go to the bank, everything is all, you know, rosy colored, and they make you submit the application, and you leave there thinking, okay, well, maybe this is a good route, and you find out that it never really happens, or they want too much, like you said, they want so much collateral. If you had the collateral to put up with, you wouldn't need the loan to begin with. But there's also
Exactly.
a factor where, you know, you left out the whole venture capital world, where these people want a high percentage of your company. So that leaves really crowdfunding through Reg A and, like, you know, the avenues that you mentioned over there. It really is. It's sad to see some of these people who are going to the banks at this point, and they're just not getting their loans done, and, you know, they wonder why. So
Yeah,
I have to
and
agree with you there, right?
you mentioned VCs. I mean, that's just that's a myth. You know, only less than 1% of companies out there actually get VC financing. You know, these VC companies are in the news quite a bit, and you know, companies are always saying, "Oh, I got VC funding," and but you know, it doesn't happen. I mean, I've been in this business over 30 years, and VCs. Look, they get about 2,000 deals sent to them a year. They look at 10 and they fund two. And the two that they fund are always from people that they've worked with in the past. It's a closed
Correct.
club circle. You know, they work with attorneys and advisors that have referred deals in the past. You know, if you're on the outside looking in, you don't stand a chance. That's why, you know, the statistics are less than 1% of companies actually get a check from VC. 99% don't even get a phone call or a meeting. So I always tell people, you know, forget VC financing, forget bank financing. I even have clients that have long-standing 20-year relationships with their bank, and they can't get financing for their business from their bank. They're just not, they've tightened up all the credit requirements. And so, you know, again, there's no guarantee when you're trying to raise money. Again, I don't care if it's banks or whatever or crowdfunding. It's a lot of work. It's time consuming. It's an expensive process with legal fees and audit fees and platform fees and marketing. But you know, one thing is for certain: if you don't try, you're never going to succeed. So you've got to get
Well,
out there and get your deal out in front of investors.
and that's the point. You know, Ron and I do these podcasts, as you know, Mike, because we want to provide information and education to our listeners to help them with what they're doing. And you know, you don't really need to know very much to understand that a bank will lend you all the money you want as long as you can collateralize it twice as much, so they're not going to lose anything. Even if you do an SBA loan, it's because it's guaranteed and the bank is happy to do it. But the requirements and the criteria and the process you have to go through is just excruciating, and it makes crowdfunding more appealing, but people don't know how to do it. They're not aware of it. They don't know anything. We try to educate them, but why aren't people learning this, Mike? Why are they being taken by the bad guys who are just using and abusing them?
Well, one of the problems is that the majority of people out there trying to raise money, the majority of companies, don't understand the process of raising money. They, you know, they're,
exactly.
They go on social media and they look at a funding platform. I'm not going to mention names, but, you know, there's about 50 of them out there. There's about 10 that are any good. But all those platforms say the same thing. Sign up with us. Put your crowdfunding offering on our platform. We have 40 or 50,000 investors. That's a big lie. These platforms do not have investors. What they have are people who signed up on their website to access deals and look at stuff. Well, they're not looking at your deal. They're looking at 100 other deals. And, you know, it comes down to an educational thing. And I have to field these questions daily from people. Well, I want to go on this platform. They guarantee me. I said, look, there are no guarantees. And there was a post on LinkedIn last week by a platform, and which I was surprised to see this person put that information out there in big bold letters. It said, you know, they were one of the premier platforms out there for Reg A, but he came out and said, we do not raise money. We are a platform, but we don't raise money. We're a platform that you can upload your offering to, and we process payments. It's up to you to get out and market your offering and raise money. Now, that was refreshing. I've been saying that for 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
To hear that from a platform, you know, it was refreshing.
Oh, absolutely. And not only is it refreshing, but it's like, okay, somebody taking the high road, doing it right, that alone is refreshing, because there's so many people trying to, you know, for every good thing that happens, there's always some shyster under, you know, in the bushes trying to take advantage of it and of the people using it. But, you know, Mike, you said the most important thing. I could have an idea that's better than sliced bread ever was, but nobody's going to know it if I don't tell them and if I don't market it. So when it's time to launch, people already know about me and they're ready to invest. If you start marketing at that point, you're, you know, kind of out of luck.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And that's the other thing that people don't understand about crowdfunding or raising capital. You have to start investor awareness marketing well before you have your offering done. Now, in some cases, like in Reg A, you can do it. It's called test the water marketing. You could pre-market before your offering is qualified by the SEC. You just can't take a check. But you can lay the groundwork
right
by talking about your company, your products, that you have a Reg A coming out, and do what's in, and get indications of interest from investors. And then when your offering is qualified, you can go back to that same list of people and say, okay, we're ready to go, you know, write us a check. But that's a big myth and a fallacy that a lot of people, mm-hmm. they think, well, I don't have to do any marketing. To your point, Vicki, investors, if they don't know your offering or your product exists, how are they going to contact you and write a check? You know, but people don't want to hear that, because they've been conditioned through years and years of fallacies that raising capital is free. It doesn't cost anything. They don't have to comply with state and federal security laws, blue sky laws. So, you know, you have to overcome, and I have to do this on a daily basis. I might get five people a day contacting me, but there's none of them that are qualified. They don't understand the process and they're broke. And, when you tell them they got to comply with state and federal security laws, they got to have a registration or an exemption from registration like crowdfunding, it's like you're speaking a foreign language to them, So it's they just don't understand the process.
No, and that's a lot, no matter what you do, if you don't understand what you're doing, and if you're the owner of a company, potential or existing, you are the one who supposedly is the best person to sell that company or that idea or that product, whatever it is. If you can't do it, it doesn't matter who you hire to do whatever it is. If you can't sell your company or your idea, then, and you're the owner, well, that just adds another thing to make it more difficult to be successful because you've got to be
Yeah,
able to talk yourself.
one of the other things with crowdfunding, again, whether it's Reg A or Reg D, you see on social media sites or in articles or whatever that, hey, we've got a list of investors we can sell to you. A list of, yeah, right. You're going to buy that list along with 1,000 other people, and 1,000 of you are going to be spamming these so-called investors on the list, and it doesn't work that way. In other words, if I've got investors that invested in oil and gas project over the years, but that doesn't mean they're going to invest in a cannabis deal. Just because they invested
That's
in
right.
something doesn't mean they're going to invest in everything. You've got to,
That's right.
what I tell people, you've got to tell them, look, you've got to find your own investors specific to your deal. There's nobody out there waiting with a checkbook to write you a check for your specific deal. Regardless of what these platforms tell you to get you to sign up, they don't have specific investors for your fintech deal, your cannabis deal, your solar deal. You've got to get the word out there and let people know who you are, what you're doing, and what you're trying to accomplish. And that all requires marketing, advertising, promotion. Again, that's the reason crowdfunding was passed about 12 years ago, was to allow companies to advertise and promote. Prior to that, you couldn't advertise and promote. You had to rely on pre-existing business relationships in order to put your deal out in front of people that already knew you. And that's why small companies couldn't raise money. And bank financing was not the answer either, again, despite what they tell you. So it's a whole educational process. People don't want to take the time because they're desperate.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
And
on
plus, a
that
lot
too.
of people see these like overnight sensation stories about somebody who didn't have anything, and with $500 in his garage, he created a billion-dollar
Yeah.
company. And they think, oh yeah, that'll happen to me. I know I can do that, and I'm going to have a billion-dollar company. But no, you're not. And not only that, but every small company, every startup company that's trying to get funding is competing with every other company doing the same exact thing, especially on the platforms where you go and here's the 4,000 investors you've been waiting for, but they're looking at 100 deals, and if you don't stand out, then you get overlooked. It's like, yeah, that's
Yeah.
crazy. But let's get back to our original concept of, is there a way that if you're doing kind of a crowdfunding launch or platform, is there a way that you can also have a relationship with a bank for to help you along the process, or it's one or the other, or what do you think?
Well, yeah, and that's a good point. It really depends on what kind of a banking relationship you have, and what you expect that bank to do. Again, most companies don't have the collateral and the credit, especially coming out of the pandemic. Small business just, the owners just don't have the credit and collateral to get anything done with their bank. So it's almost like a waste. My advice would be, look, do the crowdfunding right and raise a half a million to $1 million through crowdfunding, and, you know, show your bank that your business has, it's viable because you raised $1 million from investors in crowdfunding. And then, you know, go back to the bank and say, you know, look, my business is solid. I have revenue coming in now. I have sales. I have a proven concept, and see if they'll, you know, make a loan to you. But if they don't, then you go back to crowdfunding. But I, you know, I would not start with a bank. It's like I said, I have clients that have 20-year relationships with their bank, can't get bank financing.
Yeah.
So really, it's like you said, Vicki, it's one or the other. I would tell people, look, don't waste time with the banks. You have to post collateral. You got to make interest payments. You have to have credit checks. With crowdfunding, you don't have any of that. You don't have credit checks. You don't have interest payments to make unless you're offering debt financing to investors, which I tell people don't do that. And, you know, you don't have to post collateral. You're selling equity. And if you do it right, you don't cause so much dilution to yourself, because there's ways of structuring deals where you don't give up control.
Yeah. That's true.
Yes. That's one of the things I think is a good point as well. You know, when you go to these banks, and like you said, they're looking at so many deals sometimes, and it's probably not in your best interest to take a loan out for them with all the interest rate and all that other stuff you have to deal with. But when you get to the point where you have a slam, like a real winner, and you're making money, like you said, you have revenue, you have this, you know, you don't really need the bank at that point to give you a loan. You're doing your own thing. You're proving to your investors that you're viable. It's almost like, okay, well, I'll use this bank just for a checking account, for example. I don't need them to loan me money, but I'll use them for everyday business services, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And if you treat your investors right, you can always go back to them a second, third, fourth, fifth time to raise additional capital, again, once you reach certain milestones in your business. So, you know, the bank avenue becomes, you know, useless at that point. You can just use them, like you said, Ron, as a checking account or a savings account or something like that. But again, that's why crowdfunding was passed 12 years ago, to give companies the alternative and the ability to raise money on their terms without giving up control. Now, Ron, you mentioned VCs at the top of the hour here, and that's one of the points with VC financing. You know, if you're successful in getting something from them, they're going to want board seats, control. You're basically working for them, and then they can fire the CEO and founder anytime they want. And that's giving up control, giving up your business. You don't need to do that with crowdfunding. Reg A, Reg D, Reg CF, they're out there to benefit small businesses. People just need to take advantage of it.
Or they can go on Shark Tank.
Yeah. Like that's going to happen to most of them, you know. Yeah. How many? All these years, I've never watched a whole episode of Shark Tank. I just get so frustrated hearing all those guys, you know, they're so-called investors, and I don't know. It's just not the way the real world works, but I guess it's entertainment.
And that's exactly all it is, entertainment.
I wonder how many of those deals in Shark Tank actually close or move forward. You know, they always tell you about the winners here and there, but you know, there's what, four pitches per show times X amount of shows times so many seasons. Now, how many of those deals really work out? But anyway, it's almost the same route. The VC route, I don't particularly care for it too much. I'm in your camp as far as the regulation A goes. And another thing about Reg A too is, you know, you talked about marketing before, and you know, there's a lot of people out there who talk about how easy this is. It's like, okay, well, just you know, use your social media. You'll get investors. Post to Facebook. Post to Instagram. You know, get 10,000 followers, and then do this and do that. Yeah, you know, that's hard to do. It's hard to get that thing going, and it's hard to target the people who actually have money that want to invest in your deal. It's not easy.
Well, I mean, and there's plenty of investment capital out there, even with things that are going on in the economy and the stock market. Now, investors have plenty of money. They just are picky on who they're going to put that money with. And I tell people, look, if you're a pre-revenue startup, just an idea, you're not going to get financing in today's market from investors. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you might get $5,000 from an angel investor, but that's not enough to jumpstart your company. Investors have choices. You have to convince the investor that you're worth a risk for them to give you $100,000 or more. How are they going to get their money back? When are they going to get it back? You know, what's your success rate? You know, it all comes down to the strength of the management, the people involved with the company. Can you execute the business? And does the investor believe that you can execute the business and give them a return on their investment? And also I tell people, look, you need to have investors contacting you. You need to put enough news out there and enough information, get on television, get on Fox, get, you know, put out. You have to generate enough PR to where people listen to that and go, hey, I think I'm going to call John Smith and find out more about it. And they call you and want to get a dialogue going. And that's how you find investors for your deal. It's not just sitting back and relying on social media and, you know, putting it up on a platform. I hear so many times from people saying, oh, we tried crowdfunding, it doesn't work. And I say, what was your marketing budget? Oh, we didn't have a marketing budget. We were told if we put it up on XYZ platform, we could sit back and watch the money roll in. It doesn't work that way. 60% of the companies fail. 60% of the companies fail to raise money because they don't have a marketing budget. And that's one reason. The other one is the valuation is too high, but they just don't have a way of reaching out to investors. They're all sitting back thinking the money's going to roll in. And I tell people, look, if that was the case, everybody would be successful at raising money. And they're not. A lot of people just don't raise anything.
Yeah. If you're a pre-revenue company and you go to a bank for a loan, what's the odds of you getting that loan? 0%?
Yeah. Zero. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, less than zero. You know, I mean, they're just going to laugh. You know, they'll humor you, especially if you're an existing customer of theirs. They'll humor you, but you know, they'll give you an application and, you know, tell you to go home, fill it out, and they're not going to give you the time of day. It just doesn't work that way, not in the real world.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, sometimes, too. That's okay. Go on, Ron.
In the real world, a lot of times people will look at a deal, and you mentioned the valuation again. That's really one of the big sticking points for a lot of people, because even if you're accredited and even if you're sophisticated, it's somehow hard to determine whether or not that valuation is too high, right? And what do you do in that situation? I mean, how do you do due diligence?
Yeah, that's a good point. Sure. You know, I mean, with startups, you know, you really can't value a startup, especially if you don't have sales and revenue. That's almost like, you know, throwing darts against the wall or something. But if somebody does have a valuation, you know, you got to look at how that valuation was arrived at. Did they have a third party valuation firm do it, and so they have a concrete report is to support that valuation, or are they just pulling numbers out of the air? I had somebody call me the other day saying, we're trying to raise $1 million and we're giving up 10% of the company. And I said, so you're telling me your company's worth $10 million? Because that's what the post money valuation would be. That's how your company would be valued. I give you $1 million and I get 10%. That means your company's worth $10 million. How can your company be worth $10 million when you don't have any revenue? You don't have a product. You don't have any sales. You know, so you have to look behind the numbers and question. That's why investors like to see a lower valuation, because they get more equity for their money, as opposed to the entrepreneur wants to see a higher valuation. So you have to look at the pre-money valuation, you know, before the investment, and the post-money valuation after the investment. And again, startups are really tough, but you can, if you look at other startups in the marketplace, where they started and what their valuations are, but you got to look behind the numbers and just kind of figure out, is there reality with this company? Can this company execute the business and make a return?
Yeah, and then if you take that a little further, they show you their quote 5-year forecast for the projection numbers.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Excel spreadsheet.
No, those are.
And you look at those.
Yeah.
You know they just pulled out of the sky. It's like, you know, okay, well.
You know who came?
Your,
yeah.
And the worst.
You know who
worst
came up with all those projections? Yeah, you know who came up with the projections? People who put business plans together for a living and charge these unsuspecting entrepreneurs to put a fancy 50-page business plan together with all pie charts and everything in 5-year projections. Yeah, that's a gimmick.
Yeah.
It is.
And the worst part about that is that after they give you the projections, they always close with, oh, and these are conservative numbers.
Yeah.
Really?
We're getting into a $10 billion market segment. If we just get 1% of that, you know, yeah, right. You know, they start out these presentations, you know, we're 10 billion. We get 1%. We're going to make it easy. Talk reality.
No.
What's here and now? What do you have today?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're saying that in front of a banker and he starts laughing at you, and you probably say to yourself, "Are you laughing at my projections?" And he would start off with, "No, I was going to laugh at you right from the start."
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's also an important thing for new companies is, you know, hire the right people to give you the right advice, but if you're the owner of a potential new company and you're looking for investors and you don't give the investor a reason to invest aside from the figures and the performa and this is how much you're going to make and all of that, the most important, from my point of view, the most important thing you can do with an investor is get an emotional connection, because if they like you and they like what you're doing and you've touched their heart in some way, then they're going to invest with you. But if you don't know how to do it, they're going to invest with the guy down the street instead because they like him better.
Well, yeah,
and
it comes down to the trust. Yeah, it comes down
exactly.
to trust. What you have to do is build a relationship with investors long before you ask for a check. They have to trust you and know that, you know, understand you.
Exactly. And if you don't know how to run your business, they're never going to like you because they can see. This was the problem with the Silicon Valley Bank. They didn't know what they were doing, and it fell apart because they didn't know what they were doing, and they thought it would take care of itself, and it doesn't.
Yeah, and one of the problems with Silicon Valley Bank, one of the other issues with that bank was, you know, they were heavily involved with VC firms up in Silicon Valley. So if the
exactly.
VC firm made a $10 million investment in your company, they would say, you know, go to Silicon Valley Bank and bank with them. So you put your $10 million
right.
on deposit with Silicon Valley Bank, and then they would say, oh, we'll make you a 50%. We'll give you a 50% line of credit on that $10 million, but you got to keep the money in our bank. Yeah, okay, fine.
Exactly.
Well, that's when the problem developed, a lot of those tech companies couldn't make payroll because they couldn't get access to the money right away. So, you know, it's kind of a closed circle, and that's why crowdfunding was developed, was so that small companies can get around that and raise money.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So let's recap what we talked about today. If you're looking at a bank loan, the bank wants you to pay it back. That's all they care about. Otherwise, they'll take your house and everything that you own. If you go to a VC, they want all your company. They want all the high percentage, and then they're going to kick you off the board. Or you can go crowdfunding with Reg A or via Reg D, et cetera, and you keep control of your company and you raise money the way you want, right? Is that a valid recap that we talked about today?
Yeah, that's how I look at it, and that's what I advise companies. You know, look at all aspects of, you know, accessing the capital markets, but ultimately you got to figure out what's going to work best for you. And it's not bank financing. It's not VC money. You're just wasting your time with VCs. But like I said, less than 1% actually get a check. The other 99% don't even get a phone call or a meeting. So why are you chasing that? I mean, that's the reality of VC money. So you get back to crowdfunding, Reg A, 506C, Reg D, and Reg CF crowdfunding. Those are the avenues you should take a look at and approach it as a professional. Hire the right advisors, structure your deal correctly, offer the equity to investors, give them a reason to want to invest in your company, build a trust relationship with them. And, I mean, you have to, if you're going to the bank has to trust you as well. Even though you're giving them collateral, you know, they want to look at you in the eye and figure, are you worth us making an investment? And same thing with crowdfunding. You've got to build that trust relationship with investors, and that starts out long before you ask for a check.
Right.
Right, right. Well, you know, absolutely. People aren't wasting their time when they come up with you, Mike, that's for sure. So how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, the best way is my email, which is Mike Brett, B-R-E-T-T-E, at Gmail. They can go to LinkedIn. They can view my profiles and my posts and my articles. My contact information is there as well. My telephone number, 951-236-8473. So either email, LinkedIn, or my phone.
Okay, excellent. That sounds great. And Vicky, did we make the case today for crowdfunding, do you think? Or what do you think about today's podcast?
Well, absolutely, Ron. And, you know, I said it before, and I will say it again. If you are going to do something, do it right the first time, or don't do it at all, because it will waste your time and waste your money. And if you're going to start a new business and you're looking for funding, then you need to call Mike, because he is the expert in crowdfunding that you need to know, because if you call him, you will do it right, he will guide you doing it right, and you will be successful. It's a simple thing. So just call Mike. He'll help you. Because, Mike, you're the best.
Appreciate the pat on the back. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, Mike. It's the absolute truth.
Mike, I think you should bring Vicky to all your trade shows.
Yeah. Good spokesman.
I'll even hold a balloon for you, Mike, so people can find you.
But anyway, Mike, thanks so much for being a guest on the show today. Really appreciate your time. And Vicky, thanks
yeah,
for co-hosting
appreciate it.
As usual, folks. Yep, you're listening to the Mappable USA podcast at mappableusa.com. If you go to that website, you scroll down on the homepage, you'll see all our syndication sources. You pick the one you like best, and you'll never miss another one of our episodes. If you want to be a guest on the show, like Mike was saying, there's a guest tab there. You fill that out. We'll see what you do about getting on the show. And if you like what you heard today, send us an email at info@mappableusa.com or just leave a message on whatever page you're listening to this on right now. So thanks for your support. Thanks for listening. We'll be at you next time with another Mappable USA podcast. Have a great week, everyone.